Now, us and them speaks of us and them. That's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I could have said them in us, but it's us in them is what I'm talking about, us in them. That's what we say. We say us in them. And what they say is us in them. So it doesn't matter how you put it. You could say them in us. However it is a two-way thing. We are in them. They are in us, individually and corporately. That's the beautiful truth of the Trinity I want to share on today. There's always a flow of love and power within God, not just out from God, but if you like, within the Godhead, between them. We say they are one. There are many people that find difficulty with the fact that there are three in one. But if we said that God was just one person, then we could not but help to have the picture in our mind and heart of one lonely person somewhere in the universe on their own. It's not that. It's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the three is necessary. There's a flow of love and power within and between them. Always has been. We're able to reach out and touch that by faith. A faith that pushes through the veil of separation, which is a mindset that humanity was created with, a form, a lesser order of function, of perfection, which was the capacity to feel separate and to hide from God, which is what Adam and Eve both did. It's the enemy's weapon to try and separate us from God. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. But we need faith for that. The grace of God is upon us for that. So our faith pushes through that veil of separation. So that when we push through that veil, it's like the woman that needed healing, saw Jesus and touched, reached out and touched, and power flowed from Jesus to her. So I felt power leave me. Now, when we reach out and touch Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, power flows to us. All right? And it flows with us and then through us. And that has always been flowing between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They, each one of them, defer to one another. They live to give and to share with one another. And they wish to imprint that upon our very spirit, upon our being. I'm going to read now, or rather talk, from the scripture, Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 to 9. Share the story of Abraham sitting outside his tent door in the heat of the day on the plains of Mamre. He'd separated from Lot. Lot was down in Sodom and Gomorrah in the hills. When I say down, he was up in the hills. And there, well, over the hill and in the plains actually, but there was Abraham and Sarah in this valley, in between mountains, in this hot valley. And along comes three men in the heat of the day. It wasn't customary for people to travel in the heat of the day. They'd usually rest. It was a tradition. It still is over there. And he addressed the three men not as welcome my lords, plural. He said, my lord, singular. And the word used was not Yahweh. In the scriptures, at the beginning of the story, it said Yahweh came to visit Abraham. And then it says the three men stood in the heat of the day, and Abraham looked at the three men and said, my Lord, and that word used was Adonai, my majestic Lord. In King James, it's in a capital L. My Lord. He had a revelation that this was the three in one. How did he do that? Well, he'd heard the voice of the Lord. There was something in him, in his spirit, that resonated with the truth of the flow of God in three. And he said, my Lord. And the Bedouin custom was that if strangers came in the heat of the day especially, they did give them some water and some bread. It was like pita bread. And so he said, come, sit here beneath the tree. He went to Sarah and he said, quickly, make three measures of fine meal, the best. He said to the three, wash yourselves in the water and drink of this water, and I'll prepare these loaves and sit and eat. And whilst Sarah was making the three loaves, Abraham rushed off into the fields, found a young man that was looking after the cattle, and he said, get the finest young calf, kill that, and prepare a meal for these three. Now that was extra hospitality, that was. Giving the water and the bread is good hospitality, especially in the heat. But to give them a meal shows that he wanted to give them the place of honour. So he prepared the meal and they sat beneath the tree in the shade and ate the meal. But Abraham stood by and watched them eat. He was not included in the meal, which is an interesting thing. He was there serving. He was able to observe. But that table was still reserved for Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What were they talking about around the table as Abraham stood and watched? I think they would have appreciated the meal. Isn't this lovely meat? What beautiful bread. They're also thinking about other things, because the leader, the one that stood and spoke to Abraham, it was Abraham at that time, said, I want you to tell Sarah this time next year she'll have a child. Abraham was 99, Sarah was 90. From behind the tent door, they heard this ha, 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 this giggle from Sarah. And the man that spoke said, why did Sarah laugh? And Sarah came out and said, oh, but I didn't laugh. And he said, yes, but you did. I heard you laugh. The child's name was to be Isaac, which means laughter. It means kind of joke, really. She thought, this is a joke. As they sat and ate that meal, they knew what they were preparing, what they were planning. They were preparing for someone else to sit at that table. You and me. For that to happen, there had to be an Isaac. There had to be an Israel. And through that Israel, which was the womb and the cradle for Jesus, came the one who invites us to be part of that table. Their conversation would have been about us, even individually. You were there before the foundation of the world. In this, you were part of this flow of absolute love and sharing and goodwill that is the flow of life that exists from the very source of life, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And this was the time for the announcement to come. I won't go any further into that story because they had other business to do as well. They moved on. That's another story. But that table was a table of continual and eternal blessing and hope and promise, where beautiful things were discussed and are now. A table of goodwill. Now, reading in 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, to bring it into the New Testament. People like to have proof texts that there is a Trinity, and there are a number, and I accept the fact that we do need to look at this mystery and see Scripture, because the word Trinity was not a word until the 4th century. In the 300s, the word Trinity actually became a word that was articulated. They didn't know what to call Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They knew the essence of the being of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit spoken about by Jesus. And here is written about by John, who says in 1 John 5, 7, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one." That's in the King James Version. Different versions. Don't say it, as I believe, as well as that. Some versions leave it out altogether. But there is the record in heaven. Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit agree in one. They are one. Now, why three? I don't want to analyse. This thing is not up for analysis, but we do have to look at it with our minds and say, what is this flow? One would be exclusion. Two people is love, the ability to love and share. But three people is the heart and the movement to include, to say, let's bring more. In fact, Abraham, when he was given the promise that he would be the father of a great nation, he said, your descendants will be like the sand of the sea. And he said something else too, they'd be like the stars in the sky. The sand in the sea, or the sand of the sea, or the sand of the seashore, was the physical descendancy, which was Israel. Stars in the sky, the spiritual descendants of faith of Abraham. And that's everybody else who, by faith, join themselves, reach out through the veil of separation. And the Holy Spirit represents the stars in the sky and the sand in the sea. He is the one that is in the many, the multiplicity. And there's this, always this continual, let us include. And Jesus said, well, I'll become the one that is the connection. I'll lay down my life. And then Holy Spirit will do the work finish the work. As we heard the word, the prayer this morning, it is done, it's been done. And now the Holy Spirit, the Spirit is sent so that, the work now until the Lord comes back is completed by the Holy Spirit, who is including and tugging at every heart to come and sit at the table. To be in the flow. That's the only thing there is in our life, is the flow. That is all that exists and comes into being, everything that's created from the flow. And the flow is one of goodwill. And it can be resisted, of course. We see signs of the resistance of that every day in our lives. But you can flow with it. It's there. So we're at the table with them. What a privilege. We're now part of the Trinity from the inside. Not just like Abraham on the outside. The promise went to him that he would be part of everybody being on the inside. He stood and watched. So we're not just thinking about Trinity from the outside. I want us today to see ourselves on the inside. Be there. The Trinity is not an object that we analyse. I know that we tend to do that. It's the Western mindset. It's probably just the human mindset. Let's break this down into manageable pieces like a jigsaw puzzle. Put it together so that we can name it and claim it and control it. But it's got us. Trinity is not so much a noun, but a verb. There have been countless ways to try and make it a noun. I mean, I've tried myself, you know, and you know the different things that are used, and they're quite thoughtful, like ice, water, and steam. Oh, there's the Trinity. Or the three-leaf clover. Yes, there's good. You can analyse that and you can get a picture of something, but that's objectifying it. We're not here to analyse. We're here to say we're part of something that's a verb. It's a movement. It is a flow of love and goodwill and power. And what can I do for you? And thank you for doing that for me. And I'll go through this for you. I want to inspire you to do this. And I couldn't live without you. That's all part of that flow. It's caring, sharing movement of three loving persons that we've become a part of in their sharing of life and being and purpose and meaning. When they sit around a table, they I believe, speak of beautiful things that they enjoy, but then they speak of purpose and meaning for each one of us. Do you imagine if Chris, you were sitting at that table, I'd say, Chris, what would you like? And you'd be offered something. Chris, just share what's going on in your mind. They'd know what's going on in your mind. They just would like to hear it coming from you. And they would say, we're there with you. We're there for you. We want goodwill to flow into that. We want to empower you. We want you to know that we see the end from the beginning. Here, have a fig. Offering you to share the eating of the meal. The enjoyment of interaction in the little things and then in the deep things. Not always has to be the deep things. It's every little thing. John 14, verse 20, Jesus spoke about this. And he said, in that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. And the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things That's why the Holy Spirit spent 33 and a half years with Jesus, learning, Holy Spirit learning to become a human being. Because the Holy Spirit would always just come upon prophets and upon kings and upon priests as an anointing, as God. But now he lives in a human body with Jesus, the man. And now Holy Spirit comes, able to imprint divinity into humanity in his own particular way for each particular individual. And Holy Spirit expresses himself. So, well, how does he express himself? Through you. That's God in the world through you is Holy Spirit. Unique. He will teach you all things. And the lesson he teaches you will be different to the lesson he teaches you. Because it will be a different challenge. It will be a different revelation. And it will be something that applies to what Jesus had to go through, and the Holy Spirit will take of that and show you Jesus in it. You don't have to get there. It's not like, I've got to try and get there. I hope I can get there. Well, I know that's not a wrong thing to say. All I'm saying is, and we had this prayer this morning too. It's not striving to try and make it. But you do need to want to be there. And so God looks at the heart. Do you want to be around the table? You can say no. And there are billions that say no, unfortunately, tragically. You just have to find yourself already there from forever and for forever, but most importantly, now. How much time is wasted by wondering about what went wrong and what might go wrong in the future and not savouring what's at the table now is the goodwill and heart of love and empowering around that table that comes from the three. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4. This was the way God planned it before he even created the world, choosing the destiny of us as humanity being joined to divinity in Jesus, complete and innocent and unashamed of who we are in our close love and intimacy with him. Then you get in this flow and you go with it. That's all you do. So I'm here, I'm going to go with it. And not resist it. Try and observe what it is in you that is resisting. I'll find at different times there's something that's resisting, just being there. It is impatience. I've got this thing I want to get done and it's the only thing I can get my mind on and my heart's in it. And I resist just being at the table. And I think, well, can I do both things at once? Well, do the first thing first. I say, well, can I do both at once? Well, I says, don't get so antsy about this. Just come to the table first, have a little chat. You know what? There's what I call the 15-second rule. It's used in lots of situations. It's like they say that 4 seconds, you can actually stop yourself from getting into reaction. Count to four and don't react. 15 seconds is if you sit with something intensely that you believe is worth focusing on for 15 seconds, it will have an impression on your soul, on your psyche, that will last. And you can revisit it and you can say, oh, I remember that. Yeah, that's apart from sitting and waiting on God in a meditation, a time of just being with God. This is the 15-second focus. I am at table. Thank you, Lord. Here I am. Wow, I'd forgotten just how restful and peaceful and yet how much movement there is and activity and faith and power there is here. And it's all for me and for those in my world. And God says, yes, Don't try and solve the problems of the big world. You've got a world you live in. Now, we're going to talk to you about the world you live in. That's you and that's those people around you, because we're going to release power and love and comfort through you into that world in one way or another. So it's a here and now. And that is so significant. That could cover the whole world if it were done. There's the Father. Let me just finish with Father, Son, Holy Spirit. There are ways in which you need and you receive the ministry of the Father in a certain challenge. The Father's our provision. He's our sheltering. He's our care. It's under his wings that we come for shelter. He's the one that has planned and ordained our life and our purpose. That's the Father. Even when the disciples came to Jesus and James and John, their mother said, "Oh, Jesus, can my two sons sit on your right hand and on your left in the kingdom?" And he said, "That's not mine to give. That's my Father. He plans that destiny. He's planned mine, and he's there planning your destiny, telling you that all things are working together for good. And he's looking after you. That's Father. There are times when I need Father so much. The provision. It's not only that. God will minister through you as a father in a parental, caring way. If you're caring for somebody, if you have become that person that is able to provide what is needed in another person's life, you are actually playing that role, that fathering, that parental care. If God has blessed you and you bless others out of the abundance of your own goods, what it is you're able to give, that's a fatherly anointing, a release of the goodwill of the Trinity in the name of the Father. Jesus said we had to be baptized. Jesus himself said, be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Immersed in each one. Matthew 28. And then there's Jesus, our Saviour, our healer, our intercessor. By his stripes we were healed. Jesus, the Word that upholds everything by the word of his power. If I've got to preach a sermon, I'm saying, Jesus, can you be the Word? Can you become articulated today? I mightn't get the words right, but Lord, can you be the DNA spiritually of what touches the hearts and spirits through the ears and then through the heart? Lord, let your word come alive. Do you know when we sang that song this morning? Father, I adore you, Jesus. I felt like Jesus, the word, was coming alive in those words. There are times when you need the word of God, and that's when Jesus, your Saviour, comes and brings you the word and you feed on that word. And there are times when you are called to be that word to somebody else. How many times when you've had to have some kind of answer, hasn't God opened the word up for you and you've been there? So he's there doing that. You can become, as it were, a saviour. You can be the one that rescues somebody from their fear and their anger. And you can, by love, lay down your life for that and put up with stuff. You think, what am I putting up with this for? Well, the love of God compels you to just not insult back and to take it like Jesus did and watch the Father judge righteously. And that's saving somebody. You don't realise, perhaps, at the moment that your meekness, and I'm talking about weakness, meekness is the strongest thing there is. Jesus was the meek. Well, Moses told us that he was the meekest man in all the earth. He wrote that in Exodus. But Jesus was the meek one. And meek means your strength is in letting God be your defence and not yourself be your defence. That's what meekness is. And that's what Moses did. That's what Jesus did. And that's when Jesus allows you to take that spirit of meekness And when you do that, when you meet like that, God comes to your defense. The Bible also says, and Peter says, the long suffering of God is salvation. And you know that Jesus suffered for us, but Jesus exercised long suffering. In other words, he withholds judgment. Long suffering is not just suffering for a long time. Long suffering is withholding the penalty when you feel it's deserved and you withhold it. Well, why are you getting so soft for it? No, I'm giving a chance for mercy to come in here and for that heart to be changed. This is long suffering. This is salvation. This long suffering. And so that person, even though they deserve to be penalized, you show mercy and then God's mercy comes in. You become like that is your saviorhood in that situation. Long suffering, the fruit of the Spirit. So there are so many ways in which we can be involved around this table in the flow and movement of Trinity. And finally, there's the Holy Spirit, our comforter, our counselor, our teacher. He'll teach you all things. He's the person of inclusion. He'll help you to include somebody you think shouldn't be included. You don't force people to be included. You just say, there's a place at the table. There's a place at the table. That's all. That's all. If you don't like the menu, well, sorry, but there's a place at the table. Now, Holy Spirit is our creative inspiration also and our empowerment. If you've got things you need to do, you need creative work, or you just want to express yourself creatively to bless somebody, Holy Spirit is there saying, oh, I love this. Yeah, I like the shape of that. I like the colour of that. Do that. Or I like the sound of that. Play that. Whatever it is. It's your wisdom, your counselling with people that you know need to get understanding about how life really works. Holy Spirit will give you wisdom and truth. I just want to say amen to all of that now. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen.